Hello and welcome in. Happy Wednesday, all you crazy kids out there. We are here for the live chat. We're going to spend time answering your questions, talking through data and the fields. We've got an event in New Orleans, an event in Adelaide. We've got a Corn Ferry event. We've got a senior tour event. If you want to look at that, there's a lot going on. There's a European tour event. I don't know. I think this is going to kind of be low key, right? I don't think there's going to be, I think people are like, let's take a quick little break before we continue this sprint, which is fine. I know not everybody's up for the team event, but we're gonna rock and roll, and we'll just go until we run out of questions, concerns, or comments. So here we go. We'll treat this like normal. We've got a weather forecast in New Orleans that looks pretty clean. Knock on wood. The PGA Tours hasn't been a greatest weather year for them. Thursday looks clean, mostly sunny, 85 degrees, wind basically throughout the day, anywhere from 8 to 11 miles an hour. Friday, the wind does kick up, but basically kicks up from the morning on. So I don't think the afternoon is going to get it particularly worse. So I don't think that there is a real wave advantage here. And quite honestly, considering all the other million new variables that come into play with a alternate shot event, you know, the weather would have to be pretty different in one of the waves to really make me do something crazy. The other thing is, so for one and done, many of you might not even have to put picks in this week. Okay. So go and check your rules, check your pool. What are you supposed to be doing? Like, I know Run Your Pool has no picks. I know Splash has no picks. The Run Good Golf one and done has no picks. Some might make you pick one golfer. Some might make you pick two, or I think the most common is you don't have anyone to pick at all. If you do have to select somebody, the obvious choice would be to take the weaker player on the best team that you can, which is why you're seeing Shane Lowry and Kurt Kitayama being the two highest selected golfers across the industry right now. Shane Lowry, of course, playing with Rory McIlroy, Kurt Kitayama playing with Colin Morikawa. Both are top four favorites in this field, those two teams. So no surprise there. Then you get Will Zalatoris, which is a little bit surprising. I'm not sure you'd want to burn Will here. I love the Sahith Will Zalatoris team, but if you're going to use one of them, you should probably be using Sahith. He's also going at 7.1%. So actually, when you look at this, because Will and Sahith are going at 8 and 7, they're basically at 15% combined. Kitayama and Morikawa are at like 19% combined. Lowry and Rory are at 19% combined. So those are the three big ones. Cantlay and Xander together are about 13%. Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor together are about 12%. The Fitzpatricks are about 5%. You can see that's what I've opted to do in this. This is a smaller league. I went with Alex Fitzpatrick. So go check your rules. Go figure out what in the world is going on for you. How many, if any, you need to select. Hey, Rick, if you could pick any two golfers outside the OWGR top 50 to team up and compete here, who would you choose? Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. No, I don't know. I guess Brooks is probably in the top 50 from his PGA win, right? I don't know, actually. He doesn't get points for much. I don't even know what his OWGR. Tiger and Phil. No. Realistically, it'd be like Bezuidenhout, who I think is just outside the top 50, and somebody who can flush like Luke List or something like that. Like, that would probably be my real answer. I'm thinking best ball birdies are important, but we don't want our guys both making birdies on the easiest six holes. Is there a way to look at who birdies the harder holes? All right. So basically from here on out, I'm going to show you my website. It's rickrungood.com. Giant database for fantasy golf and golf betting. If you're here, you probably have heard me talk about that before. It's a weird week, right? So not only do we have the individual stuff to deal with, but we have the team stuff to deal with. So where it made sense, I tried to combine team stats. So you can see it in the cheat sheet and places like that. You could conceivably run a model that is based on strokes gained hard, but that would be hard courses, not necessarily hard holes. Now, I guess harder courses have harder holes on them. I'm thinking through this as we go through it together. So you could conceivably do that. And you've kind of, Aaron, you've already illustrated one of the biggest problems with this format is you might have teams that combined make a ton of birdies, but don't post as good of a score as teams that get their birdies on opposite holes, ham and egging, right? You birdie one, I birdie two, you birdie three, I birdie four. That's the great way to do it. There's a lot of luck involved in that. Alternate shot, you and Greg against KP and Patrick, who wins? Oof. Well, Greg's definitely the best golfer. Patrick's quite good as well. KP and I would be the weakest. I don't know. Both of them have played like competitive golf, which is something Kyle and I have not. I'll take me and Greg just because I think that's right, but I don't know. Just wondering what the winners get exempt to when they win this event. I saw that Davis Riley won last year and appeared to get into a couple of majors, but not the 2024 Masters. Yeah, I think that's it. So I think as far as PGA Tour goes, you get, you know, your full 2 years status, right? Each of you get your 2 years of status. You get your, you know, your $1 million each or whatever it's going to be. But I think the Masters stops short and says, no, we're not giving out an invite to a team event. You're going to have to get in individually. Free Pac-Man, who's a member of the YouTube. Thank you. You can join the YouTube membership. I've got some behind the scenes videos that I've been creating. Two of them from the Masters, one from before, and then one from actually my time at Augusta National, which I thought was cool. It says, which team has the best mix of a bomber and a short game stud? All right, let's look at this together. So a bomber and a short game, and I'll actually break these down into individuals here, and we'll just look at this together. So Cantlay is 13th in distance. Xander is 12th around the green. Rory and Lowry. Kitayama's 7th in distance. Morikawa's 30th around the green. Let's find some better around the green guys. Bryce Garnett is 23rd, but Sepp Straka is not very long. Okay, Ben Griffin is 6th around the green, and Taylor Montgomery's 47th in distance. Does that do it for you? Does that get you excited at all? Oh boy. Novak? No. Okay, Davis Thompson around the green 25th, Novak 30th in distance. Those are two top 30 guys. Can you hear what's going on outside? Somebody's vacuum. It sounds like someone's vacuuming their car. Taylor Moore, 13th around the green, and Neesmith very short. No. So hopefully that was helpful. Hey, Rick, I'm going to pick two. So we get to play a team this weekend. Nice. What team do you think has the solid chance of winning, but also two guys that you wouldn't use for the rest of the year? So that's kind of the big point there, right? So you can't use Cantlay and Xander. You can't use Rory and Lowry. You can't use Will and Sahith. So your best options, you probably can't use Colin. You probably can't use Matt Fitzpatrick. So your best options here are, I think, Hoagie and McNealy. That's probably my favorite. You could also go the Højgaards, which I think you mentioned. Or if you wanted to go deeper, like how deep do you want to go? I love the Davis Thompson, Andrew Novak team. I think that's a very good team. But realistically, you should probably be taking Hoagie and McNealy. You are unlikely to play either one of them in any other situation. ADDC and Stanger or the Cootie Bros. I like the Cootie Bros. Both of them are playing a little bit better at the moment. Parker's been playing great. Pearson getting a little bit better. MC says, I noticed there is no shot link for this tournament, which is different than years past. Will your live leaderboard page still have shot by shot? The short answer is I don't know. Quite honestly, I saw the same thing and I reached out and was like, is this going to work this week? It's just another one of these weird quirks with who has the data. Are they providing the data and who has the rights to the data? So I hope so. But I'm going to find out on Thursday morning, just like you guys are going to find out on Thursday morning, quite honestly. If you let Scotty compete in this event by himself, he hit two balls in four ball and his own ball in alternate shot. What do you think his outrights would be? Boy, even money. I mean, hitting two balls in four ball would be a massive advantage. And then hitting his own ball, I mean, he's never going to shoot over par. He would run away with this thing. Any suggestions on how to use the custom model for lineups and avoid invalid lineups with two people in the same team? Yeah. So if you go to, the slate selector is, you can't see this. You can't see the drop down, but you can see the slates that are in here. So there's a ton of slates in the custom model right now. Two for the Zurich Classic, three for the Zurich Classic, because it includes Showdown, one for Live, one for Korn Ferry, one for Senior Tour, and one for the European Tour. If you go to Zurich Classic teams, this will grab one of the golfers. So it will not select two. It's not loaded that way. Only one golfer is loaded in. So it would not let you make lineups with two guys from the same team. That's the way it's designed like that. Can you please talk DFS ownership? Unless you started the show with it, like I suggested a couple of weeks ago, and then favorite pivots as well. Okay. So, Cantlay and Xander Schauffele are gobbling up the ownership at the top here, right? Like 44%. My favorite pivot is probably the Sahith Zalatoris team, right? I mean, they're the second most popular, but they are half the ownership of Xander and Cantlay. Then you get a lot of people on the Højgaard brothers, which I would be thrilled to go to McNealy and Hoagie. I'd be fine with Adam Taylor or Adam Hadman and Nick Taylor. That's about it. I do kind of think so. Let's do a deep dive. We need to do some deep dives, right? We got to start looking into it. We got to start looking at player profiles here. Billy Horschel has been great at this event, but he has always been great at this event with Sam Burns. Okay. Now, he does not get Sam Burns this year. He gets Tyson Alexander this year, who's been okay, right? Finished 14th at the Texas Open, missed a lot of cuts, finished 16th at Cognizant. It's been an okay year. Billy Horschel's having by far his best run that we've seen in a long time. And that dates back to basically the Open Championship of last year when he was completely lost and now he started to figure it out. I mean, look at this stat profile. It's a very, very good stat profile. So I think that Billy could kind of carry this team and pump the tires of Tyson Alexander and get them a really good finish. And they're 7% owned, which is kind of crazy to me. Dietrich and McIntyre catching 18% in the middle of the eights. I like those guys. Not that much. Chan Kim and Doug Gim, basically half the ownership, very high upside team. You guys know I love Andrew Novak and Davis Thompson at the bottom of this 8K range. They're about 11%, 12% owned. Let's see what else. Neesmith and Taylor Moore are getting a lot of the ownership in the mid sevens. You could conceivably go with, that might be the chalk that you end up eating, honestly, because there's not a lot of great options around. I like Vincent Norman, Jorge Campillo. I like Matty Schmid and Alex Smalley. They're at 8% and lower in the 7K range. And then the Cudi brothers are like 8.5% owned. So basically anybody you play outside of those two are going to be a pretty interesting little pivot. How about a deep dive on old Russ Cochran? I don't even know how much I have on Russ Cochran, right? He hasn't played an event in like 10 years, hasn't he? Oh, he's played the champion. Okay. He played the Champions Tour last week. So he's been playing Senior Tour. He finished like dead last on the Champions Tour last year or last week. Withdrew from the Trophy Asan he has not gained strokes in even a Senior Tour event since August of 2022. I mean, it ain't pretty. He last played a PGA Tour event, the Players in 2014. He played the Sony Open in 2013. I don't know. I mean, he hasn't played full time since like 2004. I don't know why Eric Cole selected him. I don't know. Thoughts on Max Grazerman and Nico Echevarria? 5.5 out of 10. I like those guys kind of individually, right? And I think that they are flashers, poppers a little bit. You know, Nico's pretty darn good in tropical locations. We've talked about that a lot. Finished 14th in Punta Cana. This is, you know, New Orleans, not necessarily tropical, if you believe that that's the only place that he can play good golf. But I do really like his game. He's just got to figure it out. And then Grazerman's actually been a lot better, right? Seventh in Houston. He played last week and finished 40th. He's made way more cuts than Nico has recently. Is Matt Neesmith a stone lock in New Orleans? So apparently a lot of people are hoping so, because they're going with the Taylor Moore, Matt Neesmith group. Neesmith's been bad, and he's been bad for honestly like 2 years. It's been okay. The kind of crazy part is he was bad leading into Zurich last year, and he and Taylor Moore finished fourth. The year before that, he was playing much better, although it was kind of more volatile, but he went 25th cut, third cut, 12th, and then they finished fourth. So he was playing much better the first time that they got together. Not last year. Last year he was playing miserable and then kind of used this event as a spark. So I get why people are hoping to get something similar for this week. In the top five of one and done, go safe with Lowry or roll the dice on Hoagie / someone else. Yeah, I'm not super sure how safe the Lowry McIlroy team is. If we think about this, you know, logically here, I'm fine with Rory. He is still making too many big numbers, which if that happens in best ball, fine. Lowry's there to kind of save you. If it happens in alternate shot, you're screwed. The bigger problem here is that Shane Lowry is lost on the putting greens. He's lost 7.5 strokes putting in each of his last two starts. That is not good. I don't know how they're going to make enough birdies if you can't put the ball in the cup. And then if you get into a situation where like alternate shot for these two could go very, very sideways. Now I get they're, you know, best mates, Ryder Cup stuff. Like there's plenty of experience. There's plenty of knowledge, all that, but this is a very concerning stat profile. I'm not sure that Lowry's all that safe. So David, if I were you, I would probably roll the dice and go Hoagie and someone else. Although you're really only wasting Lowry. You're not even wasting Rory. And if they do play well, they could win. Yeah, that's the problem. I still think it's Hoagie McNealy is probably the team that I would go with there. Or Sahith and Zalatoris, if you're willing to use Sahith. I would not use Zalatoris. If you are willing to use Sahith, I'd probably go there. What are your favorites in the 7K range? Appreciate all your work on the site. As usual, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's you know, golf's weird. There's exceptions to every single rule and all that stuff. So I just try to do the best I can to make it, you know, as good as possible. Okay. So best 7K teams. I'm sure I've probably mentioned some of these. So I'm going straight to where are my guys? Are they 8,100 guys? Where are my Andrew Novak? No, they're at the bottom of this range, aren't they? Where's my Novak Davis Thompson team? Oh, right here. Oh, they're 8,200. My bad. My brain is fried. Okay. The 7K guys. So Moore and Neesmith, we already talked about them. I think that's fine. Dylan Wu and Justin Lauer. Probably my favorite is Smalley and Schmid. Honorable mention to Norman and Campillo. Honorable mention to Nico Echevarria, Max Grazerman. That's probably it. Betting card. Aaron says, Rick, what's your betting card for this week? And I'll remind you, it's my betting card. You don't have to bet it. In fact, I encourage you not to. Go bet whatever you want. Spend your money however you want. It's for you. It's not for me. I'm throwing darts here, right? So Zurich, I bet Zalatoris and Thigala, 8.5 to 1. Thompson and Novak at 50. The Fitzpatrick's at 28. So what's that? 8.5, 28, 50, and Hoagie and McNealy at 25. Okay. Then we haven't talked about Liv yet. We can talk about Liv. I bet three for Liv. I bet David Puig at 50 to 1, Brooks Koepka at 25 to 1, and Louis Oosthuizen at 18 to 1. I'm just gonna pivot to that real quick while I'm thinking about it, and I'll show you that field. On what planet is Louis Oosthuizen shorter than Brooks Koepka? I know Brooks hasn't been good this year. I know he hasn't putted well. In fact, I've got the strokes gain metrics. I get the official numbers from LIV, just the same way I get them from the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. I get the numbers. Brooks has been miserable this year. However, putted better at the Masters, which is kind of the thing that unlocks him a little bit, because that's the one thing that he struggled with. You cannot have Brooks at 25-1 and have Louis at 18, which I love Louis. Louis's been low key one of the best players dating back to like December, right? He's got a couple of wins on the European Tour. He's got a bunch of really good finishes both on the Asian Tour and on LIV. But you can, like, that is unacceptable to have Brooks Koepka be cheaper and longer than Louis Oosthuizen is. The other guy that I think is building a pretty good case, I mentioned it there, 50-1, is David Puig. Really talented young guy who has not played as well on LIV as he has on the Asian Tour. So the Asian Tour, he won in Malaysia. He had a 10th in Oman, a second in Macau, and a fifth last week in Saudi Arabia. Those are all high. Those are the only Asian Tour events that he's played. Now, his LIV stuff's like 15th, 34th, 39th. It's not as good. It's kind of weird, but there is way too much talent in this kid. And he's playing great globally that I think he's ready to pop off. It honestly reminds me a lot of the Dean Burmeister stat profile, which I think we were a week early on Burmeister. I think we bet him in Hong Kong. He finished eighth. I think we bet him in Jeddah. He finished 15th, got off of him, and he won in Miami, which is like great. Right. He was building towards this. Puig kind of feels similar to that to me. So 50-1. So I've made those. Go make sure you spend your money however you want to spend your money. Did anyone else lose the farm on Tom Hoge with that 9 on 18? Well, I got a couple of messages about it, so I don't think that you are alone in that regard. Favorite 6K team? The Cooties, right? They're 6,800, I want to say. They are. Am I $1,000 off on everybody? No, they're 6,600. They're even cheaper than I thought. They are in there. The other one would be this team here, Justin Suh and Rico Hoey. Rico is seriously maybe one of the best drivers of the golf ball I've ever seen. Justin Suh is struggling, but when he's going right, very good putter. These two get along. They play a lot together. That would be a very, very easy partnership for both of them. Your thoughts on a parlay core of Sahith and Zalatoris top 10, Novak and Thompson top 20. I like both of those. I'm not sure if I should, if I endorse you going out and making a bunch of parlays. That's probably not great, especially at one of the most volatile events in golf. But if you're going to do it, then fire away. Why we don't have the custom model with combined golfers like last year? You do. You're looking at it right here, right? I don't know what that means. Teams right here. Custom model, teams. We're looking at it together right now. I don't know if this is a joke or not. Do you have any info on why the Wu brothers are not playing together? Thanks and love your content. Yeah, because they're not brothers. They're not related. Not at all. You're talking about Dylan and Brandon, right? Just absolutely not at all related. So that's probably why. What do you think about Fox and Higo? Two guys that can hit it a mile and lead to a bunch of birdies in any format. Yeah, but I think there are better options. Maybe like a 4 out of 10 there. Yo, Rick, let's get weird. Let's do it. Your pick to win the Veritex Bank Championship. Let's run a model. Okay, so here we're going to go to the Veritex Bank Championship. Now, we got to be careful here because we do have guys who are kind of back and forth between the PGA Tour, back and forth between the Korn Ferry Tour, some names that might seem familiar to you. Tim Whiting just won last week on the Korn Ferry. Sam Bennett, that's a name you should be familiar with. Frankie Sappin played the U.S. Open, and I've been on the record saying that whenever Frankie Sappin gets his PGA Tour card, he's going to be the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year, right? So we've got some stuff to figure out here. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to do weighted strokes gained for the last 24 rounds. We're going to a smaller sample size for Korn Ferry. It's more volatile. and we are going to do 50 on weighted strokes gained. I mean, remember, we don't have all the same stats for these guys as normal. We're also then going to do, we're going to split. We're just going to stick with the strokes gained total, right? And we're going to do 10 on strokes gained total, 3 or more, 20 on strokes gained total, 4 or more, and 20 on strokes gained total, 5 or more, making a very high upside model for the Veritex Bank Championship. Tim Whiting is number 1. Mason Anderson is number 2. Sam Bennett is 3. Noah Goodwin is 4. Quade Cummins is 5. So who do I think is going to win this? I don't think Tim Whiting goes back to back. Let's look at Mason Anderson real quick. Pull up his stat profile. Yeah, 1 in Argentina, 8th in Lakewood National last week. Mason Anderson wins this. Good luck. Shouldn't the Olympic golf event be a team event too? Yeah. Yes. Right? Shouldn't they at least give out individual and team medals? Wouldn't that be similar to what I'm trying to think of what another sport might do that? It would also be a great opportunity to do the co-ed and have a men's and women's. Like instead of golf having a men's individual stroke play and a women's individual stroke play, you could conceivably you could run them together. You could play the same number of rounds and give out more medals, right? So you could have, it would just have to probably be like best ball, right? Or, well, no, I don't know if that would work. I was going to say have a men's player and a women's player play together, but they'd each have to finish every single hole. Take the best score for the co-ed team, and then you take the best score for the team, US, Canada, Mexico, whatever. You'd only have to play the same number of rounds, and you could conceivably get different results out of it. Nah, I don't know. Hey, Rick, is the grass at Augusta real? Believe it or not, yes. You got to get down and touch it, and it does not look real, and it's unbelievably perfect, and it is manicured, and there was not a single blade of grass out of whack. It was actually insane. What do you think about Hadwin and Taylor this week after finishing second last year, prep for President's Cup? Yes. So I think this is a fine team. Nick Taylor is a very underrated, good golfer. Right, is not getting the respect that he deserves. Adam Hadwin has been Adam Hadwin. The problem with him, and it's kind of a good thing too, is he's all over the place. 4th, 52nd, miscut, 5th, 53rd, 42nd. I might gain 5 strokes on approach. I might lose 8 on approach. I might gain 5 with the putter. I might lose 4 with a putter. This might be a good format for that. But kind of like the Lowry and Rory team, I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see them miss the cut, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them win. This is a very guys miss the cut, right? Didn't Victor and no, I guess Victor and Colin, I think they made the cut, but they finished. They were like never in it. It's there's a lot of luck in this one. How would you build showdown for Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday? So know the format. So Friday and Saturday, they're going to be playing best ball. Thursday and Saturday, they're playing best ball. Friday and Sunday, they're playing alternate shot. Alternate shot, I like the guys with a lot of experience. That would be a better place, in my opinion, even though Lowry's been stinking, to roll out Rory and Lowry. That's where you stick with the Cantlays and Xanders. That's when you go with guys that might play a lot together. Suh and Hoey, right? Like, I think experience matters a lot in alternate shot. When everybody's playing their own ball, pure upside, right? Just like fire away upside. Has anyone ever overlaid green book data and shot link data to get a better idea of how players perform on uphill, downhill putts, or if players tend to leave types of putts long or short? I'm sure someone has, but I don't know if I've seen it. So I get what you're saying, right? You have the shot link data, right? So you've got the green. Here's everybody on their second shot. You take the greens reading book, or you don't even need the green, whatever, the slopes, drop it on top. So you would know, okay, from this position to this pin location, it's, 3 degrees or 3% uphill and 1.5 right to left. It's interesting. Might need a lot of computing power for that. Are you offering, Andy? If you're offering, let me know. Email me. Let's figure it out. Thanks for all you do, Rick. Would it be wise to burn Willie Z in one and done in this format? I don't think so. I love these guys. If you don't have Sahith, it's just like, what's the benefit? You use him in an event that they could very easily miss the cut when he has been a known major championship and like hard golf course killer. He doesn't even control his own fate half the time. And if he wins, he gets one of like the smallest purses of the year. It will be worth more if he finishes T3 at the PGA Championship, right? I think that would be very tough to do. You mentioned that you liked the Ryan McCormick, Norman Zhang pairing, says Jason. Looking for a deep dive on Ryan McCormick. It hasn't been good. He's only played 8 or so PGA Tour events. His best finish is a T38 in Mexico. He obviously was much better on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. There's not much to like here. I like Norman Zhang, and I like guys that are having a lot to play for, fresh off the Korn Ferry Tour, in which it's always a birdie fest, and guys that can kind of get hot for cheap. And they're almost min priced, right? They're like $6,100. Would you rather that team or do you want Toasty, who's been pretty good, and Ted Potter Jr., who rarely plays golf anymore? I don't know the answer, but Toasty can't putt and Ted Potter Jr. doesn't play. So I don't know. Maybe I would like two kids with a lot to play for. Can we trust Keith Mitchell more than usual on the weekend with the event format? I don't know. I'd have to get into his brain a little bit. Trying a little DP action this week. Any sleepers to consider? All right. Well, let's do this. We'll go to the power rankings here. Go to ISPS Handed Championship. We've got the last 36 rounds locked and loaded in. I'm on Teams. Hold on. Stand by. Oh, boy. See, I outsmarted myself here on the power rankings, didn't I? Come on. And it's also slow because of my screen recorder. Okay, here we go. Last 36 rounds for everybody in the field. Connor Seam is only $8,700. He's gaining a stroke and a half per round. Let's go look at that. Okay, let's go look at what that actually looks like. 8th, 4th, 7th. Wow. Those were his last three. Hasn't missed a cut since the Open de España. That was in October. Pretty good golf being played there. Let's keep going. Sam Bairstow, I believe is how he pronounces it. 1.52. Let's see what Sam's been up to. He's only 7,800. 13th, 3rd, 15th. In his last three, a lot of top 15s, not many top 10s, played well in Singapore. That was that third place finish. Okay, that might be someone to consider. Anybody deeper than that? Where do we get someone deeper than 7,800? Ugo? Oh, boy. Ugo Cousot? I don't know where he's from. So I guess depending on where he's from, the pronunciation of that might differ. Where has he been playing? DP World Tour, 12th in Bahrain, runner-up in Qatar, 24th, 23rd, 37th, 37th. Look at this guy. Is there not great golf all over the world being played from guys you've never heard of and I've never heard of? We are deep in the cuts right now. Anybody cheaper than him? We'll keep going. Scott Jameson. See what Scott Jameson's been up to. We're getting deeper every time. Scott's 7,100. Two missed cuts. Third in Qatar. That's where he got a lot of his strokes gained there. 16th in Bahrain. That's not as good as some of these other guys are, which is to be expected. And then let's find one more. Let's find somebody even cheaper. Brad Kennedy gaining basically a stroke per round over the last 36. What do those 36 come out to be? Yeah, not a lot of events. And just like a sixth in New Zealand, a 44th in New Zealand from last year. Yeah, he doesn't play a lot. So, okay. So we identified a couple there. Connor Seam, Sam Bairstow, Ugo Cusso. And that's it. Good luck. Let me find my spot. Rick, still mad at Hoagie for Sunday. Do you know the future of this event? If you were the PGA commission, what would you do to make some of these weaker events some kind of live DP World Tour crossover? Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I think this is probably a decent time to do an LPGA co-sanction event and have 80 PGA Tour pros, 80 LPGA pros. And I also think that you would get better PGA pros because you probably get all 80, top 80 of the LPGA and you could get a lot of the 80 PGA. Now that would take 80 spots away from Russ Cochran, the horror, or a lot of guys who are not even members of the PGA Tour, whatever. I'm also not opposed to having a bye week. Okay. Like I can't believe they put a signature event after the Masters. It worked out and was great, even though it finished on Monday and all that stuff. But I'm okay with bye weeks. I am. It gives guys time to rest up, you know, load up, have a bye week on the PGA Tour. And if these guys really want to play, flex your muscle with the DP World Tour and say, look, we are partners. If you want to go play on the DP World Tour, that's great for them. It's great for everybody. Guess what? It helps the economy. Hurts no one, right? That's the meme. I would obviously bring back the match play. I also think it'd be interesting just to do a scramble. I don't know if you give out points for it. I don't know, man. Like, try something. On the player profile page, could you also add a column? Player profile page. Could you also add a column for DK finishing position? Next to finishing position. Yeah, I probably could. I mean, I have that. It's just a matter of real estate at this point, I guess. Let me look into that. Pavone or Bezuidenhout? Both good. Yes. Okay. So those two are basically the favorites to win in Japan this week. So Bezuidenhout's over there and Pavone is over there. I think if you've been following along, I love both of those guys, right? I'm high on both of those guys. Bezuidenhout is prime for a win. I don't know where it's coming, but he is truly unlocked a different portion of his game. And Pavone might just be better than we ever thought, right? So I have no problem if you want to roll out either one of those guys. Yeah, Pavone loses 3 strokes putting at the RBC Heritage. He is usually a very stout putter, and he is still continuing to play his worldwide tour, right? He played in Singapore a couple of starts ago, finished 5th there. I almost like Pavone a little bit better. Excuse me. Thoughts on the Hoffman Watney as a punt, considering their history here? Hoffman's been a little bit better than I expected recently, but let's pull up the Watney stuff as well. There is definitely some value to playing this event together. Oh my goodness. Nick Watney. Nick. This goes back to, oh my gosh. So since this event last year, Nick Watney has not gained a stroke to the field. He's not gained one. He's actually only gained once. It was the John Deere Classic. He gained a half a stroke and he missed the cut. Other than that, it is punt city. Hoffman's been better in Punta Cana and better this year. But man, if that team burns me, they burned me. Okay, the producer's pick. She did give me a pick. She's not here, but she did give me a pick, and it is Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin, which should be a surprise to no one. I will let you know that she said, wait, and she Googled Adam Hadwin, and she said, quote, I want to make sure he's at least a 5. And I said, is he? And she said, yes, but it's close. I think that was relative to Nick Taylor, though, who she's really quite fond of. So that is what she's going with here. Homa, that's what I was thinking of, Chris. Thank you. Homa Morikawa missed the cut last year. Homakawa, are you planning on attending the FedEx St. Jude this year? You know, that's a good question. At the beginning of the year, I got a note that was like, hey, keep that week open. Might send you there. I haven't heard anything since. As of right now, and I would like some thoughts on this. I'll be in Louisville for the PGA. And I believe I have gotten on University of Louisville's golf course, which is going to be awesome. Stoked about that. Then I am hoping to be at Pinehurst for the US Open. I'm hoping to be at the President's Cup in Montreal. I might do like the Tour Championship. I've never been to the Tour Championship. I also have flight credits. So, as I travel, sometimes stuff like gets canceled. So I have flight credits that I have to use. So I would like to do that. I don't think I'm going to get to the Open unless somebody wants to help out with that. Or if anybody has other recommendations, I do have flight credits I kind of need to use. So let me know what you think. Thoughts on Straka and Garnett? Good, not great. I really like Straka. And Garnett has been like, he just won, didn't he? He won that opposite field event in a playoff, I believe. Oops, I clicked somebody else's name. But let's see what he did outside of that. Yeah, he did. He won in Puerto Rico. Okay, 18th at Harbortown, 35th at the Players. This is fine. Yeah, that would be fine. Got a lot of guys with plenty of confidence, playing well. No problem. They'll get along just fine. Are you getting in the 20 max birdie on DK? I'm not yet. Right now I'm in a couple of the, I think the $100 or $200 single entries. And then, so somebody asked me, so I'm always in all the quarter arcades too, because I have to get the data, right? So someone was like, Rick, I saw you were in like the Corn Ferry quarter arcade. Is everything okay? I'm like, yes, everything's fine. I just have to get the data, right? So after it's over, I just download. So I have the ownership and so I have the fantasy points. So I just need something in there. So someone's like, do you need me to send you a dollar? I'm like, no, it's okay. I thought that was funny. Hoagie and McNeely are a big boy team. Hard to argue, Josh. Deep dive on Live Tour, possible winner. Yeah. So listen, I told you who I bet, right? It was Louis, David Puig, and Brooks Koepka. If one of those, like, we'll pull it up here. Like, would I be surprised if John Rahm won? No. Would I be surprised if Joaquin Niemann won? No. Would I be surprised if Cam Smith won? Kind of. So I showed this. I sent this out in my newsletter. Cam Smith has been very low ceiling recently. The way that I look at that is, let me see if I can get this real quick. So Cam Smith, where are you, Cam? Was I doing last 30? Oh, you know what I did? It wasn't last 36 rounds. It was since the start of January 1st. Since the start of January 1st, Cam Smith has not gained 4 strokes or more or 5 strokes or more in a single round, but he's like gaining one or more at a prolific rate. So he has this massive floor and this very low ceiling right now. So that would be a little bit surprising unless he gets a little bit of a bounce back. But yeah, I'm living here. I'm living Koepka. I wouldn't even mind going back to DJ, quite honestly, after a pretty miserable Masters. Oh, Paul. Okay. Did I bet Paul Casey? Maybe I should have bet Paul Casey. Did I bet Paul Casey? Maybe I should have bet Paul Casey. Paul Casey's been good. Okay. Back to being ball striking Paul Casey, and the putter now gains in 2 straight and probably 3 straight considering his 6th in Singapore. Did I bet Paul Casey? I bet Louis. I bet Brooks. And I bet David Puig. I did not bet Paul Casey. What's his number? Can I fit him? Do I care? right? Am I doing this for a living? Like, do I have to like bend the knee to whether this fits every single bet that I make? Or should I just have fun? Fun's an interesting thing. He's 33 to 1. I can add that, right? 18, 25, 50, 33. I think I can do that. I think I can do that. Okay. Clear, 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 clear. Paul Casey. We're adding Casey. Sure. Four in live, four in PGA. Let's do it. I think we're at the bottom. Keep grinding the quarters, Rick. We are with you. Thank you very much. Yes. Yes. I grind those quarters. I need the data. I'm happy to pay a quarter for the data. I usually don't even look at the teams. Okay. I'm shocked we went 46 minutes. I appreciate it. That's cool. Listen, it's going to be a low key week. Liv's playing overseas. Are we going to get like primetime golf? That might be interesting. You're going to have somebody on 59 watch, and then you're going to have somebody miss the cut this week. And it's going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy you. I'm not even going to plug anything. You guys know what to do. I'll see you soon. And I appreciate you all. And I'm going to say goodbye.